You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is taking a little vacation, and she will be returning on Tuesday, but I'll be here in her stead. As always, I've got Mr. Cal B on the boards. Calvin, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing a great time. I'm having a great show. We're just started, Calvin. Just started. We've got a very, very packed show for you today at 10:30. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, will be here as he is every Thursday to talk about all of the news in the world of law. We're going to be talking about impeaching justices. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a surprising decision from Justice Roberts on the impeachment of judges from the lower courts, which didn't go exactly the way of President Trump. We're also going to be talking about the upcoming election on April 1st. We'll get into that in a little bit in a moment. And of course, it's Thursday, so in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Brittany Merlot with some weather and wine. Paul Noonan is here with the sports, and at 11:50, as always, this shouldn't be a thing. But just to give you an update, today the average price of milk, a gallon of regular milk in Wisconsin is $3.17. No change from yesterday, as well as the price of a dozen eggs is $5.61, no change from yesterday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
Well, better late than never, I guess. Who can hurt him for trying, I guess. Folks, as I said before, April 1st is election day. Springtime election, smaller election, as we will mention on this show from time to time, not as sexy as an election. But you know what? We still want you to be a voter, and you can do that. You can actually start voting absentee in person today. As of this past Tuesday, you can go to your local city hall, town hall, village hall, wherever you early vote. You can cast your ballot right now for the April 1st election. Don't know where that is? Simple. Go to myvote.wy.gov. Click in your information, and it's going to tell you where you can early vote. It'll also tell you who is on your ballot, what is on your ballot, and who represents you. As we said, this is not a Senate race. This is not a congressional race. We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which, as we talked about 2 years ago, hanging in the balance. Do we want to go backwards, or do we want to go forwards with fairer maps? More balance on the court, more balanced thinking on the court, or do we want to go backwards and maybe all the way to the mid-19th century with regard to healthcare access for women? So that choice is yours. Go to myvote.wi.gov for more information on that. And if you've already voted, call us, reach out, let us know what's going on with that. Was it easy? Was it hard? Where did you go? How was your experience? You can always contact us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you're on the live stream, you can always leave a comment as well. Tell us how your voting experience has been if you've already voted. We'd love to hear from you on that matter. But, Cal, you, if I'm not mistaken, you are a vote-on-the-day guy.
Yes, I always have been.
I always have been, and I always will be. I vote on the day. And that's and they don't make good songs anymore. And you got all taken care of. You're all registered. You're all good to go.
Assuming, and I know maybe we should not assume anymore. Mm-mm. Assuming I have not been purged from the voter rolls, then yes, I am good to go.
Well, and that actually, Calvin, I'm glad you brought that up, because whether it's nefarious or whether it's natural, names can be dropped from the voter rolls. We've seen stories from all over the country of attorneys general trying to purge voter rolls for their various reasons. And in Wisconsin, you know, that's not as much the case, but they do come off naturally if you move and you don't re-register, or if you don't answer, correspondence from the state on your location. So that's why going to myvote.wi.gov is so important, because you can actually see if you're registered. Now, you can register on the day of election, which is great. That is wonderful. I'm waiting for the powers to be to say we should take that away as well, because they want voter ID, and that's ridiculous. It's not a thing. But right now, you can register on the day, but you can register right now by going to myvote.wi.gov, and that way you're all set to go. Don't forget, you do need your ID, which I'm not going to talk about right now, because I will spend my show, Todd's show, and Maggie's show talking about voter ID. But go to myvote.wi.gov, get all your information taken care of. If you have any questions, get in touch with them. They'll be happy to help you out with this. PJ on the live stream says, yes, I dropped my ballot off yesterday. Nina has a drop box in the lobby of the city building. That's excellent. Good job, PJ. And Cassandra says, I've been reminding my, quote, like-minded friends to go to vote early. Yes. As we say on the show, too, make a plan. Take some friends and then treat yourself afterwards. Go see a movie. Get some brunch. I don't know. Buy some shoes. I would buy some shoes. I love shoes. But point is, vote. Be a voter. Voting is cool, and that's all I'm going to say about it until probably about 30 seconds from now, Calvin. So we are talking about the election, though. In the election, we have, and I want to talk about specifically about the Supreme Court race, which is between Judge Susan Crawford and Brad Schimel. And as we get closer and closer to the election, I just have a really quick question for everyone out there. Is Brad Schimel the best candidate for that side of the party? Or that, I mean, that's actually my point, is we have two candidates, and Brad Schimel is doing everything he can to let you know that he is a conservative, right, very right leaning. It's not even that anymore. He's openly hostile towards colleagues, towards members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He wants to strip away abortion rights to the very bones of the words of 1849. And I just got to ask, is Brad Schimel the best guy to be running right now? Is he the one that you want? I assume so. People are going to vote for him. But this reminds me, Cal, of 2 years ago when Brian Kelly was running as well. And it just seemed like this hostile, angry, bitter, insulting campaign where you're just saying horrible things about the people who work in the same industry that you do. And to me, that doesn't represent a balanced mind. To me, that just sounds like a toddler throwing a tantrum, or just someone who's just not someone you want making these huge decisions for the state.
Yeah. I mean, even if you expand it beyond judges and you go back to the past like five statewide elections, it seems like the Republicans have one playbook, and it's only worked once, and it was with an incumbent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he is referred to, I'm looking at an article here from Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is referred to justices as dumb as a sack of hammers, and another one as addled. I mean, if he wins, some of these individuals will be his colleagues on the bench. How is that going to go down every day at work when you know that this guy essentially hates you? I mean, Cassandra makes a very good point. Sounds like a president. Very good point, Cassandra. Very, very good point. But that's the thing, is you want, look, in politics, you shake hands and you smile, and you may have a closed door opinion on somebody. Understood. But to be this outwardly aggressive, I mean, he has actually gone after Justice Hagedorn too, who is a conservative. And the reason why he's going after him is because Justice Hagedorn had the gall to say that the 2020 election was not stolen. That was what sent them over the edge with Justice Hagedorn. He's a rhino. He's a all the things. It doesn't make sense to me that he should have been allowed to make it this far. And I think because he's been running for 16 months, he's been running under the radar. We've only been paying attention to this race for about 3.5 months now. And he's been flying under the radar, going to a lot of events. He says himself, he goes to a lot of events, shakes a lot of hands. And he says that the people of Wisconsin say the Wisconsin Supreme Court is messed up, which I don't know where he gets that information, where that data comes from. I'm still waiting for him to show his work. But this is the kind of mind who would be sitting on the court. This is the kind of mind who would be interacting with left-leaning, right-leaning, conservative, liberal justices. And it just, to me, seems like not someone you want to deal with on a regular basis. He called Justice Brian Hagedorn soft-headed. He said that we got burned with him because he had the audacity to say that the 2020 election wasn't stolen, which we know wasn't because we did a lot of research on that. $2 million worth. We paid for it. Robin Voss says it was fine. Justice Hagedorn says it's fine. But that's, I mean, and now he's going back to the old days of bringing up bags of ballots in Milwaukee. Like, this is just 2024 all over again, where we had to listen to them blather on about 2020. Tony on the live stream says, Schimmel is too dramatic for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. What a diva. I don't disagree with that. And honestly, I'm thinking about future colleagues. I mean, what will he be, how will he be deciding on certain things? And also, he has made no bones about speaking his opinion on abortion, on election, and how they are run. He has talked openly about his dislike for healthcare in this country. And frankly, if any of those things come before the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, I would expect then Justice Schimmel to recuse himself. But do you think that's going to happen, Calvin? Do you think there is a version in the multiverse, in the vast, gigantic multiverse, do you think there's a version of Brad Schimmel that recuses himself, even though he's spoken out directly and passionately about how he cares about these topics?
Well, no, obviously not, because that would make Elon Musk very upset.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about Elon Musk later at 11 o'clock. We're going to talk a little bit about his disinformation campaign here in Wisconsin. And the Wisconsin Journal Sentinel came out with an editorial that basically says, this is disgusting. This is not good. We do not like this. And we'll talk more about Elon and what he is doing to try to get Brad Schimmel to win, because, you know, he's got his tentacles in Wisconsin for another billionaire, Calvin, another millionaire billionaire who wants Wisconsin because it just feels it's theirs. And so he can sell a few cards. We'll talk more about that 11 o'clock. Gene, I see you on the line. Don't hang up. We're going to get you when we come back from the break. We're going to get some water, get a snack. Take care of yourself. Don't go anywhere. You listen to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air, listening to on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming at you with some classic 80s Rush right there. Thank you very much, Calvin. I always love it when you play the Rush for us. We were talking about the upcoming election, the April 1st election. You can vote absentee in person right now. Just go to myvote.wi.gov to find out more information on that. We had some people on the text line. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, I voted Tuesday here in Prairie du Sac. As I was leaving, another person was asking for a ballot. And then he said, after I voted, I went to the Capitol 245 Women's Rally. Great event. Thank you so much for sharing that. and then also, we got some other people commenting on the live stream as well. Thank you very much for getting in touch with us. We wanted to just talk to you basically about the question is, you know, Brad Schimmel, is he the best we can do? You know, Susan Crawford, and when it comes to a judge's race, it's supposed to be an impartial, nonpartisan, keep it down the middle. We know that one side swings one way. We know one side swings the other way. but they're supposed to stay a little more center balanced, and you allow people to kind of speak on your behalf, if you will. You know where they'll stand as far as the issues go, but people like Justice Janet Protasiewicz and Judge Susan Crawford are doing that right now. They're keeping it down the middle because you know if they would have said either. I mean, my goodness, Janet Protasiewicz said the maps were rigged and the Republicans lost their minds, saying she has to recuse herself. Well, she doesn't have to because if Brad doesn't have to, if no one's bringing it up, then I don't want to hear any more about recusal. But Gene has been very patient. Gene and Claire is on the phone right now. Gene, what's going on?
I think this is a very good topic, and thank you for bringing this up. Because you know what? I am getting sick to death of all this hate. You know, hatred toward women, hatred toward people of color, hatred toward veterans assistance, hatred toward the elderly on Social Security, Medicare, hatred toward the poor, hatred toward those who care about the environment. Hate, 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 hate. And we're going to have 10 more years of hate from Kimmel.
Yeah, I mean, Gene, that's a very good point. I mean, that's another thing that I don't know why I didn't bring it up. Thank you for reminding me, Gene. And thank you so much for calling. Brad Kimmel has said he's going to help make sure the Trump agenda gets done here in Wisconsin. And to me, if you do not like the Trump agenda, you should not be voting for Brad Kimmel. Not to mention the fact that a guy running for Wisconsin Supreme Court should not be saying that in the first place. He just shouldn't be. His job is to go out there, talk to people, find out what is concerning them, and then on the merits of their job, try to get elected, not by sucking up to a guy who is just today, and we'll talk maybe about this with Jim Santel a little bit, who's just today announced finally he's going to sign an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education. So if that's what you like in a guy, I guess Brad Kimmel's your dude. But I think that the way that he's been running this campaign is one of the reasons why I'm not a huge fan of judges' races in the first place. It makes you take a side, and then it's just about making sure you slam the other one as hard as possible. Robert in West Dallas is on the phone. Robert, what's going on, my friend?
I think his temperament is going to be similar to David Prosser's. Remember during Act 10, he couldn't handle, Justice Ann Bradley? So he decided to choke her.
Yep.
He should have been in prison. I think that's what we're going to see from Kimmel. And I think overall, I'm really worried about this race. I think we're in trouble with it. I think we need to take the blinders off. We're still trying to pretend this is nonpartisan. But, when we had Lewis Butler's race and they started to darken his skin and try to associate him as some kind of weak on crime type of justice, that's really where in Wisconsin changed, where judges weren't judging by the law and right down the middle. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is the holy enchilada, right? It's Act 10. Yeah. It's fair maps. We have better maps. We don't have fair maps.
Yeah.
I would like to see the national people out here. I want to see AOC show up and bring out the students. I want Barack Obama here. Where's Bruce Springsteen? Honest to God, I mean, this would really set us up for the next 10 years. And then maybe they could start working on Iowa or some of these other states. Mm-hmm. If we get Kimmel in there, we're really going backward.
Yeah, I don't doubt that, and I don't disagree with you for the most part. I feel like when Eric Jr. is coming to town to plump for Brad Kimmel, maybe then some of the big guns need to be pulled out for the other side. Thank you so much, Robert, for calling. Appreciate it. And also, I feel like we should have learned our lesson with Daniel Kelly too. He was just as divisive. He was just as vitriolic. He was not a pleasant man to listen to speak. And if you want any proof of that, look up Daniel Kelly concession speech after he lost to now Justice Protasiewicz. It was one of the darkest things I've ever heard, next to maybe a Trump inauguration speech. Robert on the live stream says Brad Kimmel doesn't care about the rule of law. He hasn't given any solid reasons why convicted J6 insurrectionists were not treated fairly. Also, he hasn't given any solid points to Trump's agendas he'd be able to push out of the court, because there are none. Thank you very much, Robert, for reaching out. Cassandra in New London, got a little bit of time. What say you, my friend? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, yes, I agree, like, Kimmel's not a good choice. I think there's also needs to be some education, like, as far as the other things that are on the ballot, like just mm-hmm. here in New London, like we have a school board race.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think people just kind of forget about those.
Yeah.
And it can be very disturbing because you don't really need any qualifications to be on the school board, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And, yes, you know, we yes. have two people here in particular who their biggest thing they're pushing to get votes here in this very red city is that we need to protect our girls from trans kids.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yep.
It's gross. Like one of our candidates was actually talking about how it's a mental illness and that, I mean, really just bringing up conversion therapy, which yeah. was really scary. And it's like, why are we talking about this at a school board meeting?
Absolutely, Cassandra. We're right up at the break, so I cut you off there. I apologize, but thank you so much for calling in. I don't disagree. That's when we got to share what we know, talk to our friends and family, find out what's on your ballot, and talk to the people who are in your neighborhood because you can make the difference on your block, in your neighborhood. So myvote.wi.gov for more information on what's on your ballot. When we come back, Jim Santel will be here to talk about the law because he does it so well, and we're so excited to have him here. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is off gallivanting the world for a few days, but we'll be back on Tuesday. Of course, we always have Sweet Cal B behind the boards, and that sound, that music can mean only one thing. It's Thursday, it's 10:34, and we're welcoming Jim Santel, the host of Amicus, a law review, to the show again. Mr. Santel, how be you today?
Greg, I am doing well in our America. It still is our America.
Darn right.
I'm delighted to be with you and Calvin and all your listeners, as always.
Excellent. Well, we are going to be spending the next half an hour talking to Mr. Santel about all the major news that have to do with the law, whether it's a local law or whether it's, you know, coming out of the Supreme Court. And something from the Supreme Court dropped, I believe it was yesterday or maybe 2 days ago, coming from the court regarding the impeaching of lower court justices or lower court judges, and a surprising verdict or a surprising decision from Justice Roberts. Jim, can you tell us more about it?
Absolutely. Again, this comes from what is arguably the hottest but latest story of this week, having to do with a U.S. District Court judge. His name is James Boasberg. He's in the District of Columbia. He is the one who is appropriately giving this administration trouble. And that's understating it wildly, for its decision to pack up and transport some Venezuelan migrants. We don't know exactly what their status is. The White House maintains that they're gang leaders and we've got to get rid of them. And under a centuries-old law, the president thinks he can do this. In any event, James Boasberg basically directing the White House to stop it. And he's having hearings, again, one starting in just a few hours here, asking the administration to explain whether it violated his own directive to stop those planes, keep them on the ground, not send these folks back. And again, the White House and the Department of Justice have some splaining to do, as you often say. We'll see how that plays out. But all of that prompts our president to say, contrary to everything we've known for 250 years, that, you know, judges should be impeached. He's plainly focusing on this one, among others who are many in the recent weeks and couple of months who have said, no, Mr. President, you can't do unconstitutional things. He's proposed that they be removed from office, that they be impeached. And yes, indeed, John Roberts, in an all too rare statement, John Roberts, nothing wrong with your being out there yeah. articulating what the civics of America is, says this. He says, for more than two centuries, it's been established that impeachment is not an appropriate response to disagreement concerning a judicial decision. The normal appellate review process exists for that purpose. And he goes on to teach the President of the United States of America a little bit about how this works. It is stunning that he should have to say that. And I would go to the next step after we digest that a bit and say, a little bit too late, John Roberts, also. A little bit too late. Nice for you to say that. It would also have been nice for you to frankly, write a letter. He mentions Donald Trump in nothing. His name does not appear. Here's his address, Mr. Chief Justice. It's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. I got the zip code for you. It's 20500. Write the letter, publish that, and tell him to knock it off. Don't just issue these. He's right about it, and he's good to do it, but it's not enough. And also, coming as it did, which we can revisit again this morning, 8 months ago, basically, it was John Roberts himself who empowered Donald Trump to do exactly what he's doing. How dare you, Mr. Chief Justice, now maintain, whoa, can't be going this far, when back on July 1, you gave this president in that catastrophic order incredible powers. And I can read some of the language. We've talked about this before, Greg.
Yeah.
But it is stunning that now the Chief Justice says, whoa, this is too far. You're the one who put him in this posture. And if we point fingers at all, no violence here, but point fingers in terms of who's responsible, I put a lot of this at the Chief Justice's feet.
I mean, the thing is that we can't forget, I mean, I believe it was at the president's speech 2 weeks ago, he walked up to Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, and said, I won't forget you for that.
I won't forget you.
I mean,
stunning, right?
And so I guess my question as a non-lawyer, non-judge, I'm none of those jobs, you know, he is trying to make, well, first of all, it seems like he's saying, you can't do that because I don't want to lose my job. Because we always say the same thing. We say the same thing over and over again, which is, You are only good to Trump until you are no longer good for him, and he will get rid of you. And so he's trying to put his anchor down to say, you can't do this because I don't want to lose my job, but I won't say anything because I don't want to lose my job. And now I've done my duty. I'll go back to the chambers and I'll pretend that nothing happened.
I'll retreat back to my office in the Capitol Hill, and I wonder how much pressure he was under from other judges around the country, even his fellow justices. I'm not saying that Sam Alito or Clarence Thomas was pounding at his door saying, got to do something here. But maybe the other justices were also saying, we need to do some pushback here. And thankfully, he did it. But once again, not only, and Greg could not be more pointed, why was Donald Trump tapping the Chief Justice on the shoulder on January 20th saying, we won't forget this? Because it was John Roberts' pen that kept Donald Trump from being exposed ultimately to a criminal conviction. And what did John Roberts say? That is visiting again, he says, the president occupies a unique position in the constitutional scheme. Not really. No. There are three branches altogether, yeah. Mr. Chief Justice. And he talks about how we need to have, and here's his words. This is what John Roberts said 8 months ago. Energetic, vigorous, decisive, speedy, placing in the hands of a single constitutionally indispensable individual ultimate authority. He goes on to talk about the purpose of a vigorous and energetic executive is to ensure good government, because a feeble executive implies a feeble execution of government. Framers vested the president with supervisory and policy responsibilities of utmost discretion and sensitivity. Those are your words, Mr. Chief Justice, of 8 months ago. And so it's very nice once again for you to say, whoa, but you can't be impeaching judges. Yes, that's right. But you set this up, did you not? Mm. And again, if I were in a position of some responsibility there, frankly, even media should be going after him. Again, not in terms of any violence, but asking him, if you ever get the chance, how do you reconcile these two things that you've said? Can't impeach, and not, nonetheless, giving this president, any executive, these huge powers, indispensable, vigorous, can't be feeble, maximum ability, says, to deal fearlessly and impartially with the duties of his office. Wow. And now we're saying, but not so much. You've got to be responsible across the board, Mr. Chief Justice, and this is not it.
No, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but John Roberts, though a conservative, though appointed by George W. Bush, has voted, ruled, and written on decisions where he has irked the right.
Absolutely.
And and it's interesting to me that, you know, he has done all those things and now he's writing this letter that's like real milk toast in the face of a much bigger decision from, as you said, in July, where he's saying the president's the president. You can't touch him. And even though all three branches, you know, all the leaders of the branches should in a perfect world have some sort of standard they're held to and consequences for inaction. But we're seeing that even with the Supreme Court, no one's going to take anyone off the Supreme Court anytime soon. They know they can run around with impunity, and it's just sort of the way it is now. And that's the real frustrating thing for me, Jim, is that
absolutely
it just kind of feels like, well, that's how things are now. That's the standard.
It becomes the status quo when under any other circumstances. You and I and Calvin also have lived long enough to recall a time, frankly, it was about 3 months ago, and certainly before the first Trump term, when Republican and Democratic presidents alike, attorneys general, Republican and Democratic, my boss was Eric Holder. I worked under 9 different attorneys general. Most of them were under Republican administrations. You had a sense, you may disagree with him on big picture issues like how much we should emphasize environment and how much we should do antitrust and what should we do in commerce, those kinds of things. Those are where the political partisan divisions should be, and we can have vigorous disagreements. Reasonable people can disagree.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that should not be at all the subject of disagreement. And the fact that we're raising these fundamental notions as first principles and going back to notions about whether or not James Madison did in fact say that there are three branches of government, and oh, by the way, you are not the law.
Yeah.
When in fact, that has been established again for all of my lifetime, all of yours, the lifetimes of all of your listeners and our great, 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 great grandparents, mm-hmm. all of that again. I think your point is well taken. Now, today, as we wake up on this wonderful Thursday morning, you think, well, okay, that's just the way the world is. No, our hair should be on fire about these things. And we should be writing those letters, not just to the Chief Justice, but to our representatives, frankly, local, state, and federal as well, telling them this is not acceptable. And we should be showing up at all those town hall meetings and insisting on responses from our local representatives. That's what James Madison contemplated. Absolutely.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Jim Santel, who is a former U.S. attorney, current practicing attorney, and host of Amicus, a Law Review, which you can catch every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Before we go to break really quick, we're talking about a new norm, talking about hair being on fire. The big news this morning breaking that the president is going to be issuing an executive order dismantling the Department of Education. Is this just going to go right in front of a judge? And we can talk about it a little bit and come back to the break and expound upon it, but it just feels like this is yet another piece of paper that's going to be signed. It's going to get in front of a judge and they're going to be like, no, you can't do it. Sorry.
Yes, right. That's exactly what's going to happen here. We're going to see the president very shortly holding this proudly with his very bold signature at the end of the piece of paper there. And he's going to say the Department of Education is no longer, for what it's worth, if you're the Secretary of Education, who we've seen recently, I guess she took the job with the anticipation it would not be long-lived. But the reality is it will be somewhat long-lived. Because you're exactly right. We could talk about the process where as soon as he does this, there are going to be lawsuits probably filed in the District of Columbia, a court once again, challenging his authority to do something. And here's the point that only the Congress can do. Only the Congress is the entity. They created the Department of Education. They established it. Again, Jimmy Carter and presidents before him advocated for this. There's no doubt, once again, if you get into the policy on this, that the great majority of dollars and policies are set at the local and state level. We know that. But somehow, once again, this attack on the federal government and the good things that it does to ensure access of all people to education, that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. The president, getting back to the constitutional issue and the legislative issue, does not have the authority to do this. Look for a federal district court judge, maybe again right down the street there, in the next 24 to 48 hours to enter once again a TRO. Again, some more civics here as we always do.
All right.
This is the temporary restraining order saying, no, Mr. President, can't do this.
Yeah. And we have people on the live stream saying that no one will miss the Department of Education. I disagree with that. I think that's a foolhardy thought to have in your brain. And also liberals, again, standing in the way of progress. Well, the question is you want to destroy you want to dismantle the Department of Education. What's your next plan then? How do the children stay educated? Progress means you have a plan. Progress means you have a future goal. This is nothing. This is saying dismantle and do nothing. That is not a plan. But we're going to talk more about this with Jim Santel and talk about some of the other executive orders and just other I'm not even going to give him we're going to talk more about how the judges are getting are standing up for the Constitution more than our current president is, with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, the Law Review. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yeah, he, this court is now in session. His Honor, Judge Pigmeat Martin Poseidon. It's just about ready to do that thing. I don't want no tears, I don't want no lies. Above all, I don't want no alibis. This judge is hip, and that ain't all.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who's off gallivanting the world for a few days. We'll be returning to us on Tuesday, but I got you today. I got you Friday and Monday, along with sweet Kelby on the boards. And wonderful, absolutely fantastic, the effervescent Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a Law Review, every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I had Cal play that song, that is Here Comes a Judge by Pigmeat Martin, one of the earliest maybe rap songs ever. And the reason why I wanted to play that is because in the past, especially in the face of Doge, which is celebrating a month of existence, in the past, almost since it's been inception, in the past couple weeks, the judges have been standing up and doing that which we expected our congressmen and our president to do, which is protect the Constitution, which they are not. So these judges are. They're saying with these executive orders and all these plans and the cuts from Doge and the destruction of jobs, no, you can't do it. You cannot do it. This is not constitutional. Stop it.
Thankfully, yeah. And that is exactly what our Constitution contemplates. Mark that. Let's talk about Pam Bondi in just a minute or so. but getting to that fundamental civics point once again, that's exactly what federal judges do. And the unanimity with which they're doing it, these are, again, we always hate to describe them as Republican judges or Democratic judges, but unfortunately, again, that's the world we live in. These are judges appointed by Democrats and Republicans alike, mm-hmm. going back decades, are all saying, no, the Constitution is quite clear on this, and the legislation is quite clear on this. You cannot do this. And so procedurally, this is what we're seeing. Again, it's going to happen quite literally with respect to Judge Boasberg and these Venezuelan migrants who may or may not be, I assume they're no longer in the air. There is somewhere out there in the world, however, as he's going to try to figure out in just a few hours here. But what he does is he hears the evidence. He presumably, he's asking the government now to tell him exactly what's going on here. quite literally, when did the planes take off? Give me the time. Mm-hmm. Who is on those planes? Who is responsible for them? Where did they land? Where are these people now? And that's what judges do every single day. They don't always rap with the great rhythm and poetry as as we just heard, but that's exactly what they're supposed to do. And thank goodness, they are the guardrails. They're the guardrails right now. There's one other that we've talked about before, Greg, and I'll mention it as well. There are some hints as well that we've got federal judges pushing back on some of these criminal attempts too. This stuff is not going to be in the public domain a whole lot, but we saw this case involving the District of Columbia U.S. attorney who wanted, again, to get some movement forward, wanted to open a criminal case. His criminal chief resigned rather than to go ahead and pursue a case that had no merit. And you had a federal magistrate judge, we don't know all the details, in the District of Columbia saying, no, I'm not going to find probable cause. There's another instance where a federal jurist pushing back on this, the other one that's still out there, again, we don't know because they're completely silent, are federal grand juries. These are 23 people pulled together. It's maybe not me, but it could be you, put together to determine whether or not indictments should issue. That's also out there. And I just refuse to believe that even in this time when an awful lot of people think that Donald Trump is the king, he is not. Grand juries are not going to go along with this. Mm-hmm. And so hear to federal district court judges, hear to their pushing back, requiring evidence in their courtrooms. And what they're doing procedurally, you're probably wondering, a lot of your listeners who, they probably do figure this out. A TRO gets issued, putting people in place right now and say, don't move anything until I can get more evidence. Keep things static. You can't keep planes in the air forever, but basically bring them back if you need to. And then I'm going to have a larger hearing. We're going to set aside several hours. We're going to have testimony. And then I may enter an injunction, a formal injunction saying, no, from going forward here, you cannot do this further. And then finally, we circle back to what John Roberts did instruct us. Again, he shouldn't have to do this, but he said, if you're unhappy with that, you don't call for the impeachment of the judges who do that. What you do is you go to the appeals court. Mm-hmm. That's what he also said. And thankfully, he did say that, again, a little bit too late, John. But nonetheless, that's the instruction that all Americans should understand. It's not getting rid of the judge. It's not getting rid of what they've done. It's doing this in a proper way.
It's the process. It's the process, the way we've been doing it for hundreds of years. And sidestepping it, overstepping it, always comes back. There's going to be someone there. And as you said, a judge who has been appointed by a Republican or a Democrat to say, no, you don't get to do that. There is a process, and you must partake in it just like everyone else. And, you know, that's and if you want to hear more about these types of topics, more of the listen to Amicus, a law review every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can always download it on the Civic Media app. Or I'm sorry, you can go to the website and download it as a podcast. Listen to it later if you miss it. But Jim Santel, you know, I'm being called a contrarian in the live stream. And I'm standing up for gangbangers. I'm a terrible person in the comments in the live streams. But you know what, Jim? That means we're doing something right if they're getting that mad at us. So Jim Santel, thank you so much for being here today. We always love talking to you, and we look forward to seeing you next Thursday. You have yourself a wonderful weekend. Folks, stick around. When we come back in the second hour, we got sports with Paul Noonan. Brittany Merlot is going to have weather, and we're going to have ourselves some fun talking about Elon Musk and misinformation, all that, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't go far. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks, Jim.
Always a pleasure, Greg. Take care.
Don't you remember me?
No, who are you, boy?
Well, I'm the fella that introduced you to your wife.
To my wife?
Yeah.
Life, you son of a gun.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.